The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. As if this is your first time joining us, we want to welcome you. I'm Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. This is a special prophetic update. Probably go about 20 minutes on this segment, guys, so I don't want to spend a lot of your time tonight, but I want to talk about All Eyes on Jerusalem. We want to welcome our podcasters, our YouTubers. Again, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know below under the Facebook Live section and let us know where you're from. If it's your first time, please let us know so that we can acknowledge that and welcome you to the broadcast. So what are we talking about when we say all eyes on Jerusalem? Well, if you guys watched our last segment, we did a segment right when the Trump administration initially released this deal of the century peace, Middle East peace plan, a two-state solution. This was released this week, earlier this week, and we delivered that update right when it was fresh out, right off the press, basically. And we didn't know a lot of the details of the peace plan. And we told you that we would come back on and that we would do a follow-up and that we would go into more detail. So that's what we're going to do tonight. So why are we saying all eyes on Jerusalem? I want to say this real quick. When it comes to Bible prophecy, there's going to be a lot of geographical locations that's going to be in the central focal points. There's going to be different scenarios take place. There's going to be disasters that's going to take place. There's going to be wars that's going to take place. There's going to be famines and pestilence and all. We know all these things according to Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and other passages in the New Testament. We know all this. But I want to reiterate this, and I want to emphasize this again. Jerusalem, everybody needs to be paying attention to Jerusalem. Why? Because that, my friends, is where it's all going to come down to. In fact, Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah said in chapter 12 of Zechariah, he said, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples," and that can translate to nations. Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, will become a cup of drunkenness to all the nations. And it tells you when they laid siege against Judah and Jerusalem. So when they began to conspire to do something to Jerusalem. Now, what is that something? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. I believe the stepping stones are being laid. I believe the blueprints are being laid. I believe the precursors are all being set forward. And this thing is moving forward in motion. When they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day. Friends, everything can change in one day. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as a woman given in travail and birth." Suddenly. I remember the birth of our first child. He's 11 years old now, getting ready to go on 12 years old. I remember everything was normal. It was a normal night until suddenly the water broke. And then everything changed after the suddenly. Suddenly this happened. And suddenly that happened. And then there was a birthing. Jesus said, "As it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man." They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. They were sowing and reaping. They were building and planting. It was a normal day. And it says, and then suddenly the fountains of the deep burst forth. It was a suddenly factor. Zechariah says, you will know that we are in the time of the end when you begin to see the footprints, the blueprints, the dialogue, the rhetoric, the focal point is Jerusalem. And the entire focal point dealing with Jerusalem is in regards to dividing it. Dividing it, breaking it into pieces, violating a covenant that God Almighty made with Abraham all the way back in Genesis. He says, listen, and it shall happen in that day, I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the peoples or the nations. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces. Although all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. In other words, they will attempt it. They will plan it. They will proclaim it. But there will be a swift judgment that will come upon every nation that participates in dividing Jerusalem. That brings me to a little bit more details. Now that brings me to some concerns that I want to address tonight in regards to this deal of the century proposed by U.S. President Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. First of all, this deal that was made earlier this week was the first time in American Mideast, or in American history, it was the first time any American Mideast plan had ever had a map that was generated with it. President Donald Trump went to Twitter and he posted a map of this. You can go to his Twitter page, and I believe it's still up. Okay. And in this map, there it is detailed out, and it's basically a proposal to where, again, Trump described his plan as a, quote, historic breakthrough, and said he wrote to the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas saying that, quote, territory set aside for the Palestinian state would remain open for a, quote, transition period of 4 years. So if you'll remember on the first segment, I didn't hear of it initially. I didn't hear of any years, whether it be 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 7 years, 12 years, whatever the case may be. But we know now that this proposition has been proposed for a period of 4 years. In other words, it's on the negotiating table. Now, we know the Palestinians have already rejected this. But listen, what's interesting is a lot of the Arab nations are open to this. Now, it's interesting that this is being put out for 4 years. It's almost as if Trump was anticipating winning a second term, and while he's in the second term of 4 years, Jared Kushner and all them and that whole administration, the Mideast peace team that they have assigned to this, obviously would be working on this plan, and they would be sitting at the table with the Arab nations, and they'd be sitting with the Palestinians. Okay, in this 80-page document, this Mideast plan that was presented, he claimed to be it would be a win-win for Israelis and Palestinians. The plan would more than double the territory under Palestinian control. It recognizes Israeli sovereignty over major settlement blocks in the West Bank, a scenario many Palestinians would find difficult to accept. Obviously, that's why they were quick to reject it. The plan would limit Palestinians to specific parts of East Jerusalem and leave Israel in sole charge of holy sites that are sacred to both sides. However, again, what's interesting about this is there is many parts of East Jerusalem that would be given over to Palestinian authority. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? Now, look, this is what I want to talk about real quick. If you'll remember in 2011, under President Barack Obama, you remember this, in May of 2011, when he came out, national television, and he considered, and he put a proposal out, if you would, of the same, pretty much the same scenario, where parts of East Jerusalem would be given over to the Palestinian Authority. And the conservatives went nuts. Many of you watching this and listen to this, many of you guys lost your minds when Obama came up and did this very thing. You lost your mind. I can't believe this president would do this. Oh my goodness, what's he doing? Doesn't he know he'll bring judgment upon the nation? But Trump comes out and he is willing to give up parts of East Jerusalem to Palestinian Authority. And all of a sudden, everybody is okay with it. Well, friends, listen, now I want to talk about the danger of this. Many of you guys don't see this, but I didn't write the book. I didn't write the Holy Word of God. I didn't make the covenant. God did. Now, it's interesting that Pat Robertson, love him or hate him, because that's what you're going to get with Pat Robertson of CBN and 700 Club. He came out today, and this is what he said, quote, this was an article we posted out today. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel is the spiritual capital of the world. This is what God calls the navel of the earth in the Old Testament. This is a quote from Pat Robertson. Why are all of the nations so concerned about Israel? I will tell you why, because it is God's outpost, and it would be, in a sense, a black eye against him if his plans were frustrated by human beings, and he will not let people frustrate his plans. Obviously, he's alluding to the covenant that I've been talking about in the beginning of this with Abraham and the Jewish people. God gave a covenant to Abraham and the Jewish people, and that is their land. Listen, quote, when you look at the map, you see what is known as the West Bank territory, and this is what the Palestinians want. Down along the Mediterranean Sea is what is known as Gaza. It is virtually impossible to link these two parts through Israel. So just in that, you have a problem. Quote, but if we see the tiny nation of Israel in relation to the vast amount of land that is here, Israel is maybe 0.3% of the landmass of the entire Mideast. You could see the enormous amount of land in Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, and Iraq. The people of these nations have so much land, and yet they want to crowd all of the Palestinian people into this tiny little area that will not support them. Now let's see what the West Bank looks like. Quote, here are the cities, and he put up a map. We put a link there on Intel Headlines. Here are the cities you have been hearing about. Hebron is a famous town in the Old Testament. Bethlehem is the birthplace of Jesus. Ramallah is another one of the key cities, along with Nablus and Jenin in the so-called West Bank. So again, these are in Eastern Jerusalem. Okay. Now, what is the big deal about this? Here's the big deal. When we go back to the word in Genesis chapter 12, and now the Lord said unto Abram, go from your country, your family, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Quote, this is Genesis 12, 1 through 3. I will bless him who curses you. And in all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, when we say bless and curse, this is not just, you know, some derogatory term that you say against the Jewish people, or an anti-Semitic term, which I'm not saying that any of that's good and we should be doing that, because it's not at all. I'm not saying that. When it says curse, I will curse those who curse you and I'll bless those who bless you. When you start reading this scripture with scripture, line on line, precept on precept, when you line up with what God spoke to Abraham and his descendants, by the way, that land that was given to Abraham and his descendants is still there today. It does not change with culture. It does not change with time. It remains under the covenant of Almighty. Just like The promises of God in Him are yes and amen to those that believe. When God made a covenant with us, there's all kinds of covenants. You could study this in the Old Testament, New Testament. There's covenants that He made with the believers. One of them is a covenant of healing. He made that. He made a covenant with the Israelites when they was coming out of Egypt into the promised land. And He said in the book of Exodus, I believe it's in Exodus 18, He says, "For I am the Lord God." He said, if you'll honor me and seek me and you'll heed my commandments, He said, I will permit none of the diseases in which I brought upon the Egyptians to come upon you, for I am the Lord God who healeth thee. So He revealed Himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And He made a covenant with His people that He would be their healer. Now, friends, that was in the old covenant, but how much more is it now in the new covenant? So again, He never broke His promise. There's again, and we could talk about this all day long, but now here's where I want to talk about this. But when you go to Joel, when you go to the book of Joel in chapter 3, the prophet Joel says that in the last days, in the time of the end, that God Himself will gather the nations of the world to a central location. And it's a place called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, let me give you a little bit of information on this. The Valley of Jehoshaphat is a section that stretches from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, east of Jerusalem, between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. Before the 4th century, this Valley of Jehoshaphat was also known as the Kidron Valley. All right? The word, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, literally means the Valley of Decision. And the word Jehoshaphat in Hebrew means the Lord or Yahweh has judged. So what I'm trying to show you here, this is what I want to reiterate. The prophet Joel says in the last days, God Himself will gather the nations of the world. And these nations that He will gather will have one thing in common. I'm about to tell you what that is. He will gather them from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. And He will bring them to a central location in Israel called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, or the Valley of Judgment. And He says in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, I will bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there. Now, I told you, all these nations will have something in common, and it is the reason why the Lord has brought these nations to this judgment or this valley or this location to judge them. You ready? They will enter to judgment on account of my people, the Israelites, the Jews, the covenant people of God. He says, my heritage Israel, whom they, the nations that are being judged here, this is all in context, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. So again, if you've been paying attention to what we've been talking about the last 15 minutes or so, I said, what did we call this segment? All Eyes on Jerusalem. When you start seeing nations that side with, that come into agreement with dividing the nation of Israel. In other words, beginning to remove parts of Israel that has been sworn by a covenant to the Jewish people through Abraham, then friends, you better watch out, because this is all leading to a war that's mentioned in Old Testament prophets, and it's mentioned in the book of Revelation, called the War of Armageddon. And guess where that war takes place? Exactly. Right where we're talking about. And again, and look what it's all about, guys. It's all about Jerusalem. It's all about Israel and the dividing of Israel. So again, why is this important? Now, I believe through the Lord's mercy and His sovereignty, He has warned nations in the past of the dangers of dividing Israel. And I want to talk about that in just a second. Over the past several decades, whenever the United States has been involved in an effort to attempt to divide the land of Israel, really weird, crazy, catastrophic things begin to happen. Let me give you 10 things real quick. And I want to give Michael Snyder from endoftheamericandream.com, themostimportantnews.com. He compiled this list. I had a list of this that had even more of these events, and I can't find it. I don't know. I guess I lost the file, but we're going to go ahead and use his. Again, I'm going to give him credit for pulling this up. Number one, on March 26, 1979, the Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty was signed in Washington, in America. Signed. As a result of that treaty, Israel gave up a tremendous amount of territory. Within 48 hours later, on the 28th of March, the worst nuclear power plant disaster in U.S. history made headlines all over the globe. It was called the Three Mile Island Accident. It was a partial nuclear meltdown that happened on the 28th of March of 1979 when a reactor number 2 of Three Mile Island Nuclear Generating Station in Pennsylvania took place. Again, 2 days after this. Then on October 30th, 1991, under President H.W. Bush, he opened the Madrid Peace Conference, which brought Israelis and Palestinians together to negotiate for the very first time. In his opening speech, Bush told Israel that, quote, territorial compromise is essential for peace. Did you hear that? At the exact same time, what was called the perfect storm was brewing in the North Atlantic. This legendary storm traveled 1,000 miles the wrong direction. It was unprecedented. And it sent 35 feet waves slamming directly into President Bush's home in Maine. Are you kidding me? Are you listening to me, folks? And then on August 23rd, 1992, the Madrid Peace Conference moved to Washington, D.C. in the very next day. So they continued the next year. Now, I want to stop here for a second. This is why I'm concerned about this, guys. Because remember, Trump said, we're going to give this thing 4 years. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means. I don't know how hostile our president is going to get, how aggressive he's going to get to push a peace treaty or to push a compromise with Israel or to push a compromise with Jerusalem and the Jewish people to give up land or to divide land. So again, we are under the gun for the next 4 years. By the way, you do know that coming up soon, in this same proximity of time, is coming the other side of that major solar eclipse. Remember the first band that went through? And it came and it was visible and it came through right during Teshuvah. It came through during Teshuvah, a solar eclipse visible over the United States of America during that time frame. There's going to come another one. It's going to form an X. You remember this? Right over America. And guess where the very center of this X is going to be on a map? It puts it right dead on the New Madrid fault line, which is a major seismic fault line in the midsection of the United States of America. This thing blew in 1811 and 1812. It caused the Mississippi to run backwards. It caused geysers to form. It caused damage unprecedented. And they said it's not a matter of if, but when it blows again, because of the populace, because of the buildings and the infrastructure that we're at now versus 1811 and 1812, it would cause and generate catastrophic damage. In fact, one man, multiple, I call them prophets, modern day prophets of the Lord. One of them, John Kilpatrick, had two dreams that were simultaneously, and they were one and the same. And he saw a major earthquake striking the New Madrid fault line. And it was so tremendous that it woke him out of a dead sleep, and he was trembling and shaking. And he felt like the Lord revealed to him that if America ever got to, now this was years ago. This wasn't last week. This wasn't last month. This was several years ago. He got on the Jim Baker show and warned this. He got on all this. Well, I don't like Jim Baker. I don't care. Don't matter. We're not talking about Jim Baker. You get so focused on who you don't like, and you don't like that name, you don't like that denomination. You need to clean out your ears and pay attention. This is greater than that. We're talking about Jerusalem. We're talking about the apple of God's eye. And he says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. John Kilpatrick said that he felt that the Lord spoke to him and said, if and when the nation of America, he said, if and when America ever decided to divide my nation, I will literally divide the nation of America. Are you kidding me, guys? A giant X formed by simultaneous solar eclipse is coming. I believe it's, 4 years or 7 years apart? I don't have that information pulled up. I didn't even think I was going to talk about this tonight, or I would have pulled it up. But it's, somebody could put that information on Facebook. I'd appreciate that. Somebody might already know that under the comments or YouTube, whatever you're watching this. But there's, you got the one that came across a couple years ago, and then you fast forward, I want to say it's 4 years, don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere around 4 to 7 years exactly. The next one's coming to come through. It's going to put an X, and then in the center of that X on a map is right there over the New Madrid fault line. Now, I got to get back to this, guys. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about Trump said for the next 4 years, we're going to keep pushing this. We're going to keep proposing this. We're going to keep presenting this. My Lord, we've got to be praying, my friends, because we are embarking in dangerous territory. And we're only 4 weeks into the new year of 2020. And we've got all kinds of things. I didn't even get into it. We're not even talking about the coronavirus that now the World Health Organization has said has become basically a global pandemic. This is something to be very concerned with. Is what, again, I'm only reiterating what they have said. So here we have on October 30th, 1991, President George Bush opening the Madrid Peace Conference there in Maine. And then this unprecedented, quote, perfect storm took place, slammed right into where he lives. And then 1 year later, fast forward, August 23rd, 1992, He moves this conference, this peace conference, to Washington, D.C., and they begin discussing the compromise that Israel needs to make for peace. And the next day, somebody say the next day, Hurricane Andrew made landfall in Florida, causing $30 billion in damage, and at that time was the worst natural disaster in U.S. history. By the way, we're only on number three. Number four. Fast forward 2 years later. January 16th, 1994. President Bill Clinton met with President Assad of Syria to discuss the possibility of Israel giving up the Golan Heights. By the way, that's East Jerusalem. Within 24 hours, the devastating North Ridge earthquake struck Southern California. It was the second worst natural disaster at that time in U.S. history. Number five, 4 years later, January 21st, 1998, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrived at the White House but received a very cold reception. In fact, President Bill Clinton and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright actually refused to have lunch with him. That exact same day, they turned their back on Netanyahu and rejected any kind of proposal. And the same day, the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke, sending the Clinton presidency into a tailspin in which it never recovered from. Number six, on the September, fast forward September that same year, September 28th, 1998, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright was working on finalizing a plan which would have Israel give up approximately 13% of Judea and Samaria. On that precise day, Hurricane George slammed into the Gulf Coast with wind gusts up to 175 miles an hour. All right. Fast forward 1 year later, May 3rd, 1999, Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat was supposed to hold a press conference to declare the creation of a Palestinian state with Jerusalem as the capital. On that same day, the most powerful tornadoes ever recorded in the United States ripped through Oklahoma and all the way through Kansas. At one point, one of the tornadoes actually had a recorded wind speed of 316 miles an hour. In 2005, 2 years after that, President George W. Bush, this is the son of George Bush, convinced Israel that it was necessary to remove all the Jewish settlers out of Gaza and turn it over entirely to the Palestinians. According to the New York Times, the very last of the settlers were being evacuated on the 23rd of August of 2005. On that precise day, a storm was brewing and it was given the name of Katrina, which means cleansing, started forming over the Bahamas, and the city of New Orleans was completely decimated and to this day has never fully recovered from the damage that was caused, as it was ranked as one of the costliest natural disasters in all of U.S. history at that time. And then that leads me to May 19, 2011. Barack Obama told Israel that there must be a return to the pre-1967 borders. Approximately 3 days later, on May 22nd, a half-mile wide EF5 multiple vortex tornado ripped through Joplin, Missouri, and it completely wiped Joplin off the face of the earth. According to Wikipedia, it was the costliest single tornado in U.S. history. I mean, I'm talking about multiple fatalities, guys. Man, my hair is standing on end right now. This stuff is, I don't even have the words to articulate what I'm trying to say. I don't want to say it's creepy, or I don't want to say it. I'm talking about the genuine fear of the Lord comes upon me when I start talking about this. So here we are, January 30th, 2020, and we are at the beginning stages of what looks to be like a four-year push for a peace plan that once again we're left with Jerusalem having to compromise or capitulate and violate or break a covenant that God Almighty made with the nation of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, and you say, well, I don't really care about this. This doesn't do much for me. Well, it does. Listen, I'm telling you, friends, there is a nasty track record with this. I'm telling you, history is speaking here. And we are deemed to repeat it again If this thing goes the way I'm praying it does not go. Now, I know Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled. I know that Joel chapter 3 has to be fulfilled. I know Zechariah chapter 12 has to be fulfilled. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't make things any easier to accept, especially when you're in my shoes and you live on the New Magic fault line. Hello. Or maybe you live in California. Or maybe you live in Wyoming by Yellowstone. Or wherever there, listen, you could be by a tornado alley. You could be in a seismic earthquake zone. You could be by volcanoes. You could be, listen, I'm telling you, even on the coastlines, if I generated the amount of dreams and visions that people send me week after week or month after month of people that are praying, interceding people that hear from God, and they continually get all these dreams and visions of tsunamis striking the East Coast, tsunamis hitting the West Coast. I mean, one of these are one of these voices is a pronounced prophecy teacher, Perry Stone. I mean, I'm telling you, multiple dreams that he's had of tsunamis coming to the coastlands of America. I'm telling you guys, it's not a matter of if, but when this takes place. This is not to promote fear. This is to promote awareness. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption's drawing near. A prudent man sees these things and he prepares himself. He doesn't bury his head in the sand. This is not a time to bury your head in the sand. This is a time to prepare your household. The Bible says that Noah, knowing the judgment that was coming, was forewarned of what was about to take place. What did it say that he did? He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He prepared his family spiritually. He prepared them physically. Do what you got to do materialistically wise, physically wise. Have an emergency plan set up. Have all these preparations set up. But have your soul right. Have your heart right with God. Have your family right with God. If it was ever a time to begin to pray and intercede and travail for your family members, it's now. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. I want to close with this. This was, to me, this was very interesting, just to say the least. Breaking Israel News reported that while Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was discussing President Trump's plan for the Mideast, political pundits weighed in on what the deal of the century actually entails. Two prominent Israeli rabbis there in Israel have come out. It's very interesting. One of them is a very well-known rabbi. Made a remarkable prediction. Listen, don't shoot down the messenger. I'm only giving you the report. He, quote, made a remarkable prediction on Monday that the deal of the century proposed by Trump will not be enacted because, now here's what he said, quote, because the Messiah will come first. Now, is this the Messiah that we know as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Yeshua? I don't believe it is. I believe because, and I say this because this man is a mystic Jew. He is not a believer in Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not born again. Okay? So most, unless they are Messianic Jews, they are not looking for the Jesus that you and I are looking for, that the Bible talks about will come back and every eye will see him and every tongue will confess and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And the Bible talks about he'll return on a white horse and he will set his foot on the Mount of Olives and it will split. They're not looking for that Yeshua. They're looking for a different Jesus, a different Messiah. Now we know according to Thessalonians that there is coming a false Jesus, a false Messiah that will appear, and he will both perform signs and lying wonders, is what the Bible says. And even so, he'll be able to cast fire out of heaven. And he will work alongside another individual. And the Bible says in Revelation 13 that there will be an antichrist and a false prophet that will work together. Now, what's interesting, it says these men will come on the scene first, and they will deceive even the very elect if it were possible. It said those who refused to accept the truth, did not have pleasure in the truth, but wanted to accept the lie. It says that God himself will send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And this is why, if you'll look in the book of, I believe it's Mark or Luke, Jesus said, he says, behold, the Son of Man will come like lightning that flashes out of heaven. And he says, so when the time comes and they shall say, lo, he's in the desert, or lo, the Son of Man is there, or he's in the inner chamber. What did Jesus say? He said, don't go to him. Don't go out to them. Don't go see what they're looking at, because that is not going to be the Son of Man. That is not going to be Yeshua. In fact, let me pull this up. I didn't pull this up. I want to pull up this scripture. I know this is live. This is not very professional because it wasn't planned out, but I'm going to pull this up real quick. Listen to this. Let me show you this. The coming of the lawless. Or no, hold on. I'm sorry. Do you not remember that when, this is Paul speaking to the church of Thessalonica. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and you know what is now restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, that is the Antichrist, will be revealed. Now listen to this. So watch this. The Antichrist is revealed to the world, right? And it's, watch this. Listen, watch this. Verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So again, this is why I don't believe that the Messiah that this rabbi is saying is going to appear. Whew. Guys, think about that. Can I throw a hypothetical situation out here, a scenario? We're just throwing this out there, okay? Don't go out there and say, well, Brother Ricky predicted this or he prophesied this. I'm not, because I'll call you a liar because I didn't say that. Just hang with me for a second. What if Trump wins a second election, second term? That gives him 4 years, right? So we know by his own mouth and by this 80-page document and the proposal of this peace plan that for the next 4 years, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, or 20 to 24, 4 years, he's going to push for this peace plan, okay? Now, let's just say he wins the election. That puts him in there for 4 years. He's going to push this Mideast deal of the century for the next 4 years. Well, now look, according to this rabbi, let's just say, again, we're just throwing a scenario. Let's just say the rabbi is correct. And there is coming a, and I know you guys on you are on podcast can't see me. You guys on YouTube and Facebook can see me, and I'm throwing up the air quotes. Let's just say the Messiah appears. Guys, according to 2 Thessalonians, if this Messiah that this rabbi is talking about is the Antichrist of the Bible, it can very well be possible that the Antichrist of the Bible could be revealed. I'm not saying he will, but it could be that he could be revealed in the next 4 years. Now, if he is, that puts the Lord coming back very soon. That also puts a lot of things in perspective. We're talking about the building of the third temple, Revelation 11. We're talking about, now some of you guys don't believe in this, but that's all right for those that do. We're talking about the catching away of the church, the rapture. We're talking about entering into the tribulation. Am I saying that we are? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if we build this timeline and if things begin to take place, and if this rabbi is correct, and if this false Messiah is going to appear, and this false Messiah is the Antichrist, then guys, there's no way of getting around this thing. That means that Trump would have to win the election, or whoever the next president is that comes in is going to have to take this peace plan and take what was initially started by Trump and run with it, which I don't see that happening if it is another particular party that wins. They are definitely, if anything, guys, it will be worse. It will probably be on a grander scale of Israel giving up way more than what even Trump proposed. So either way you slice this, guys, we are heading into uncharted territory when it deals with Bible prophecy. This is exciting times. This is trying times. This is terrifying times if you're not on the right side of the tracks. But again, I want to go back to the 2 Thessalonians, and then we're going to close with this. It says that this false Messiah, this Antichrist, he will be here on the earth. And it says, but he will be destroyed and consumed by the brightness of the coming of the Lord. So it's the Lord himself. The second advent will destroy the Antichrist when he appears. Guys, woo, this is exciting times to be alive. Now listen, what good is knowing all this and being here for this if you're not right with the Lord? If you're not right with the Lord, friends, then you, again, depending on what you believe, there's all kinds of different theological beliefs here. We've got people that don't believe in the rapture. You got people who believe in a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no rapture. Okay, so we've got whole different genre of different categorical theological debates here that we could get into. I'm just saying, whether you believe mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib, no rapture, there is a rapture. Why wait? Why put off tomorrow what you need to do today? Get your heart right with the Lord. I want you to pray with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm not right with you. And I ask that you forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood today. Lord, I know that if I was to die today, I'm not ready to go and meet you. I'm not ready to meet you face to face. I used to know you. I'm backslid, or I've never known you. I've never had a relationship with you. I ask that you'd save me and cleanse me. I repent of my sins. I ask that you'd come and live on the inside of me through your precious Holy Spirit. Wash me by your blood. Put my name in your book. And help me be ready for your coming, whether it be tonight, whether it be tomorrow, or whether it be 10 years or 50 years from now. I want to be ready for when the trumpet should sound, or when the eastern sky should split. I want to be ready, or if I should die before that even happens, if my heart was to stop beating, or if I was to die in an accident, or whatever the case would be, I want to be ready and know that I can lay my head down tonight and know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, listen, if you truly believe that and you prayed that and you accepted that tonight, you, my friends, are born again. We welcome you back to the family. We welcome you back to the fold. If you've been led astray, or if you've fallen away, whatever the case may be, we want to welcome you back to the fold. So again, we appreciate you taking the time out tonight on this Thursday night to be a part of this segment, part of this podcast, or by the rebroadcast of this. Maybe you're watching this. Again, if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can follow us at, subscribe to us at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on Facebook Live, there's a link right there under the description. There's a link. You just simply click on that link. It's going to take you to our main landing page. There you can find a place where it says subscribe to our daily digest. You can subscribe to push notifications so that every time there's a breaking news alert, you'll get it right to your mobile device. And now, right now, that's only on Android and for iOS laptops, but it's not for iOS mobile devices. But once we get our app up and going, which is almost there, guys, I know many of you guys have been patient, but we're almost done. And once that comes, you're going to get it right at your hands on iOS or Android. It's going to be on your mobile device, your tablet, and you'll be able to do that. And again, as always, guys, you guys on podcast listening, you guys on YouTube watching this, if you'd like to support this ministry, if you're blessed, you're encouraged, and you're informed by this ministry, and you'd like to partner with us or help us with a one-time offering, a gift, a love offering, whatever the case may be, we want to encourage you to be obedient to the Lord. And you can do that at the end of this broadcast. There'll be more information on that. You guys on Facebook, just click on the link right there. It's going to take you there where it says support ETH or donate. You're going to see many options there that you can do that by check or money order or by giving electronically. So we love you guys. God bless you. Have a great weekend, and we will be back on here next week with more updates as we get them. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.